think as Warren was sharing about unity, is we can't come into unity if we don't humble ourselves. We all need to get low into a place of humbling ourselves, and then we can come into unity, and then the Lord will start doing what he wants to do. Just on that. For those who don't know me, I'm Yandre. Dankie de Villiers. Is that better? Okay. I'm Yandre, and my parents are here this morning. It's really special to have them here, all the way from Port Noleth in the desert. And I'm married to Amaria, and we have a 2.5-month-old son, Joshua. That's been keeping us busy. I just want to start my timer here so I can keep track. Kala shared a beautiful word on anointing our shields the past two Sundays, and I think there's going to be some touching points from what I'm going to share this morning. But if you haven't listened to it, go do yourself a favor and go back and listen, go work through it. There's really power on that. Usually over a December, we all take a break, and I really try and get into the Lord's presence. And I just try and hear from the Lord a word for the year, or something that He wants to come and do in my heart for the year, so that I can prepare myself, and so that I can actually position myself in a way that the Lord can come and work in my heart. And then last December, I felt the Lord told me that you are going to die to yourself more this year than previous seasons. And Amaria actually reminded me over this weekend that Warren gave a word to us about a year and a half ago, exactly the same word. I just didn't make the connection. And I made the mistake of just seeing the end result. It's like, I'm going to be a better person. But I forgot about the journey or how to actually get there. In dying to yourself. I'm an ambitious, optimistic person. Forgot a bit about the journey. And dying to self actually means humbling yourself in every way. I've had a few events this year that really came and humbled me. And I've just carried this message from my heart for a while. First, we found out that we were pregnant after this word came. And obviously, those of you who are parents would know it's quite a significant change. I think on your marriage, I just like this, you have to step up massively and your life isn't yours as it was before. And I had to change my jobs, and we got kicked out of the house that we actually stayed. The Lord's really been working in my heart. I just want to share a bit of what the Lord came and did in my heart in the workplace. I used to work with Lincoln. he's proud of it. For the last 4 years, more or less, I've really been in a difficult place at work. And yes, Amaria and I have really been trusting and people around us to get out of that place into a fresh place where God's life is. I just felt that there were really many things pulling me down and sort of holding me back. And we were really contending, like, I want to get out of this place, but it just didn't happen. And there were times like, Lord, is this ever going to happen? And I started making peace with the fact that I'm going to be here in this position. And then I come to another time, it's like, Lord, what do you still want to do in my heart? And then He actually does something when I humble myself before Him. And in that waiting period that I was there, the Lord came and did certain works in my heart that was necessary before I could go out there. But it was a testing period, and I really wanted to get out of there very, very, very badly. that's an important part of the story. And then probably about 5-6 months ago, someone called me with a really, really great job opportunity. And in our industry, job opportunities don't come every day. So if you get one, you really need to consider it. And I've been trusting for a job change for 4 years. And now here's an awesome opportunity. But probably 3 weeks before this call came, my boss actually called me in. And he offered me quite a big promotion. that I had to consider. It was almost like a lollipop that someone's hanging in. The Lord knew what was coming. So yes, now I've been wrestling in my heart. Yes, like, what do I do? Do I go for the new job? Like, I've been wanting to go for 4 years, but now there's something better here where I'm at. Like, I was a bit in a spin. Where am I going? What do I need to do? And obviously, my wife has observed my heart for the past 4 years. She knows what's going on and why I actually want to go. And as we were considering, she just asked me one day, listen, what changed in your heart? Like, for 4 years, you want to get out of this as best as possible or as quickly as possible. But now suddenly there's a change in your heart. Like, and none of the roots have actually changed in my old job circumstances. And I was like, I'm not sure. So I couldn't put my finger on it. It was almost like I was my own heart was deceitful. I couldn't put my finger on it. Like, what is it that's confusing me at the moment? And then Rian from Edgemeet came and preached a sermon here this morning. And it was over that time, probably in a week space, that everything was happening. And I really just sat here that morning with an open heart for the Lord to speak into my heart. Yes, and as Rian was sharing, I just felt the Lord telling me, you are building an empire at your old work, and you can't let it go. And maybe some context, I basically started out as an appy at my previous job, and I've worked myself up into a good position. And I've built up this empire. That's what the Lord came and showed me. Like, you've built up this empire. Now you don't want to let it go. You think it's your work. And for me, it was really difficult to release of that. And for me, that was a really humbling experience. Just like, oh, I didn't see this in my heart. And the scary thing for me is I thought my heart was in the right position in work towards the people and towards God. I thought my heart was in the right place. But actually, I was building my own empire here, and I was not seeing it. I was blind to it, and my heart was actually deceitful. And yeah, through this whole process, I got people from the outside to consider with me, to weigh things up with me, guys that really know me well. And it was actually cool to see, just as I submitted, the guys really spoke in, and there were a few guys that were brave enough to actually say, yes, there's a blind spot, or there's a blind spot, and this is really life on that. But no one could show me the empire that I was building there for myself. Like, I wanted to reach success in that place without actually knowing it. Like, yeah, yes, the Lord just came and stabbed my heart with that. I have two older brothers. They live in Kimberley, and one is 7 years older than I am. The other one is 5 years older than I am. And I always had to compete to try and be at their level, but I never won. they just had a natural advantage. So I have this competitive spirit in me about I'm really struggling to lose, to let go. We played paddle the other day, Lincoln and myself and Abel and Yalpi. Just like, yeah, I really have a competitive spirit in me. So I had to fight. I had to fight that side as well. Poor Abel was ill. I was dragging him with me there. But we had a lacquer game. I struggled to lose. And this for me, in a way, was losing what I've built up. Like, I've worked so hard for this one thing, and now I need to let it go and lose and give it up for someone else. And the important thing is, yeah, that I was looking after my own reputation and what I thought about myself and how I think highly about myself. And the Lord came and showed me all of this. Trying to do things out of my own strength, being independent. But as Nkosi always says, your heart is deceitful above all else. is it you guys following me? Making sense? Yeah. So just a raise of hands. How many of you have been humbled in the past while? Let's say in the last year. So if your hand isn't up, there's something wrong. And just a bit on humility. Humility is just in the way that we live. Humility is something that's very easy to carry outwardly. It's easy to speak off and say, yes, I'm a humble person. And when we're amongst each other, to behave in the correct manner or whatever. But inwardly, this is the real test. Like, are we really humble in our hearts? Are we really submissive? Do we really lay down our lives? Just want to quickly, the definition of humility is a state of lowliness, modesty, and a lack of pride. So humility, lack of pride. So if there's a bit of pride somewhere, there isn't humility. And a nice example of this is Joseph's story. That guy was humbled quite a few times. So for those of you who might not know the story, Joseph was one of 11 brothers, and he was the favored brother among the 11, and his brothers were jealous of him, and they actually sold him into slavery. They were scared he's gonna be more successful than him. Sold him into slavery, and the people saw that God's favor is on Joseph, and he ended up working in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar was like the captain of the secret service for Pharaoh. And ended up working there, tested his whole life. And then Potiphar's wives found interest in Joseph and actually tries to get him to sleep with her. And he resists that and stays away from that sin. But then she goes and tells her husband, listen, Joseph tried to sleep with me, and falsely accuses him, and Joseph ends up in prison. So he's humbled again, sold into slavery, ends up in prison. And then he remains faithful to God, and God eventually elevates him, uses him to interpret dreams for the Pharaoh. And in that place, he gives glory to God. And God actually exalts him to the highest place, second highest in Egypt, serving just under Pharaoh. And for me, it's just a great example of someone that was humiliated a few times, but he could humble himself under God. It didn't get to him. He wasn't full of himself. He could come back into a position under God. Stewie, can you maybe open that door, please? It's really hot here in front. Thanks. Joseph never turned bitter or proud. Really, really remained faithful to God. And I think God came and he tested his humility and his character, and God saw it's ready, and God exalted him. And just for us, if we would put ourselves, I just thought, yes, if I put myself in Joseph's shoes, how would I react? How would I respond to that, being humiliated in that way? Just what's in my character. And are you willing to lose your reputation like that, like he did, and still remain faithful to God, still serve him faithfully? So then just one scripture. You guys are probably thinking, when am I showing scripture? Proverbs 11 verse 2, if you guys can please get it up. Just a beautiful scripture about being humble. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble, there's wisdom. So I have three points that I just want to share on humility. And the first one is humility is a rich life. So I'm going to read some scriptures just to show that, what the Word of God tells us about it. So first one is James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So you'll become rich. He'll exalt you. And if I'm speaking about rich, it's not earthly riches, not money or houses or whatever. It's riches in the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. It's not being pride. It's not carrying your own reputation high. Proverbs 22, verse 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor of life. It's almost as if these two can't exist without each other. You can't have fear of the Lord if you're not humble. Can't exist without each other. Then 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 6. Likewise, you are younger. Be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he will exalt you. Not under, humble ourselves amongst each other, under the mighty hand of God. I just want to share some practical examples of what a humble heart looks like, and maybe one or two stories, what the Lord has actually done in my life. So some measurables of a humble heart. So a humble heart is someone that's teachable. You're able to receive from others. And as I go through these points, maybe ask yourself the question as I name the things. Are you teachable in every area? Are you willing to receive if someone brings something to you, or are you always correct? You are open to correction. Open that someone actually speaks into your life. And I learned this one the hard way. I got saved towards the end of matric, gave my life fully to the Lord. And then I joined a church in Bloemfontein where I studied. And we had a team from Johannesburg coming down to teach on the prophetic and the gift of tongues. And that's something I had no clue of. So I was curious. I was open to it, but no clue of it. And beforehand, went, worked through the scriptures, I saw, okay, it isn't scripture. It's biblical. Then these guys came and they taught the one Sunday morning on this, and they were going to be with us for a week, just training and allowing the Lord to work through them to actually activate those gifts in our church. It was something that we were lacking. And the guy that actually taught the word on the morning just said something that threw me completely off. I just didn't agree with him. But in my mind, like, I was correct. And that actually caused me to believe, like, yes, this is nonsense what these guys are bringing. And I actually closed up my heart to the gift to those gifts of the Lord, gift of the Spirit. And I was actually, in a way, causing division amongst our friend group in church, like telling the other guys, listen, these guys are speaking nonsense. Don't go to the rest of the week where they're going to be teaching this. Like, this is what the Word says. This is what they said. And I was actually the wrong person. And they were prophesying over people the whole week. A lot of life on it. And yes, my one friend had the courage to call me up, and he was just like, yes, man, we have a last session tonight. I know what's going on in your heart about that, but get yourself here. Pull yourself together. You're not right in this area. You need to open your heart. Get yourself here. And I needed someone to actually come and speak into me, but I had to be open to be corrected. And I actually went and I was blown away, and it changed my perspective for that area in my heart completely. Are you open to correction? A humble person doesn't cling to his own reputation. Do you carry your own reputation high? How much do you value it? How much are you willing to be humiliated? Joseph is a nice example. So I mentioned earlier, we were put out of our house. We got kicked out of our house, basically. So we stayed in Jonkershoek. I think many of you have been to our house probably for 6 years. And there's five other houses with us. And probably a month before Joshua was born. Not Joseph. Before Joshua was born, our landlord came to us and told us, listen, you need to move out. I'm like, yes, man, we have a baby just on the way. And I'm changing jobs. This is not a good time. This is not a good time to move. And I asked him, but why not any of the other guys? Like, we've been staying here the longest. Why can't they go? And both Amaria and myself thought in our hearts, like, we're the most deserving of all the people to actually stay here. Like, we have the most right to stay. And actually, we thought we were better than the other people. And that was definitely our weak point. And I think we were, it's just like our reputation got damaged in that. Yes. you get kicked out. You're not worthy to be here. And we really had to check our hearts for that. We had to repent of that. And other people actually stood with us. No, you're right, man. You're the right person to stay here. Other people are all wrong. So people come and sympathize with us. So that's actually scary. So get the right people to speak truth into your life. Be wary of who you choose. Then a humble person is not puffed up with knowledge. And this is something that's quite evident. Someone that's puffed up with knowledge, and maybe test yourself against this, is someone that's very judgmental, throws out arrows, a huespisa, just everything's wrong. Not Ruan and Ryan, or Christopher and Marianne. He shoots out arrows. He's someone that accuses, someone that always corrects someone. He protects himself, or very, very wary of himself, protects himself. Always points out mistakes in others. Does not see the log in his own eye, only sees splinters in others' eyes. So puffed up with knowledge. Oh, are you puffed up with knowledge? A humble person is respected amongst others. They have a voice to speak. If you spend time with, where's Mornay or with De Villiers, humble guys, eh? And if they want to speak, you listen to them. They carry something, so go and have a coffee with them. And a humble person's weakness is his strength. Umkhosi is a great example for me about that. Always living an open life, being willing to be weak before others, never holding on to his own life. He's weak, and it makes him super strong. And other people come and drink from that. A humble person doesn't need recognition. I struggle with that one. Eh? I always want to win. I really struggle to lose. So I still need to work on that. Humble person is not boastful. What's coming out of your mouth? Maybe ask someone that's close to you just to tell you, listen, what have you heard coming out of my mouth? Or are you boastful about yourself or your situations? A humble person is repentant and confesses. And as I was preparing, I felt the Lord tell me that you need to be, if you want to repent, you actually need to humble yourself, or just that connection. And I was like, yes, Lord, just show me what I had to repent of recently. And one of the things was actually self-pity. Just work life is picking up again. I have a newborn baby. My wife is sometimes very tired when I get at home, and I'm also tired from work. And then I'm like, yes, I don't have time to even look after myself. Everything just goes there. Or then there's something with the church happening, or someone asks me to do something regularly. I'm just like, yes, man, why me? Why me again? Like, yes. And it actually became self-pity, and it prevents the Lord from actually using me. And I had to repent of that. Even preparing for this morning, I was like, oh, wow, where am I going to find the time to actually prepare? And there was actually self-pity in my heart, and I had to repent of that. And when I repented, poof, the Lord came. And then, he just brings refreshing. He brings something new. And if you want to get humbled, get married. It's probably the place that I've been humbled the most in my life is in my marriage. My dad's also smiling. I don't know if it's for himself or for me, but he's also smiling. So there's just a few points. Sorry, Carla. Just a few points on what a humble character looks like. Measure yourself up to those. Then my second point is humility is living in the light. And if you can put up the next scripture, please. 1 John 1, verse 7. So second point, humility is living in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, we have fellowship. And sometimes it's not that easy to come out and walk in the light, because of the reputation that we carry. So Carla mentioned in his preach about 2 weeks ago that I recently struggled with something, and I actually had to really humble myself in that area. We had a Sunday afternoon at Warren's house going through This Is Church with a group of people, and then just suddenly I found like I wasn't focusing on what was going on. My mind was sort of drifting, and the enemy came, don't know why, and he just threw all my sin that I did before I got saved, threw it out before me so that I would see it and feel like, oh. And I was like, yes, what is this? Like, I've repented of this. I'm a new creation. I know who I am in God. And he just threw all my sin, everything that I did wrong, comes and throws it out before me. And I pray against that, and I'm praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, and I feel a little bit of a release, and I get myself back into what's going on, and I'm okay. But then later that evening, I get home, it's like, here it is again, and it's a bit stronger that the enemy is throwing, like the feeling's getting a bit more heavy. And that went through on the Monday, like whenever I was on my own, and my mind was sort of just drifting a bit, the enemy would come in and take up that space. And he just accused me, like, look at this that you've done. And I know the truth, and I'm trying to resist the enemy here, but I'm not winning on my own. And now I'm thinking, like, yes, I'm not winning, but I probably have to share this with someone so they can help me contend. And then something rose up in my heart, but, yes, man, you're in leadership here. What are they going to think about you if you share this thing that, like, you're struggling again with this old sins, like it's coming before you. And so it was difficult for me to actually acknowledge in my heart, I need to acknowledge to others that I'm struggling with this thing. And it just showed me that I'm actually proud in that area. But it eventually became so bad, it's like there's no other way out. I need to ask someone to help me. And I actually wanted to get Warren and Kala to pray with me at the Tuesday morning prayer. And then they were busy as well. It's just almost like the enemy comes and just throws like a last thing. Yes, I want to open up about it now. And it's like, poof, they're busy with other people. And I feel like, oh, I can't share with them now. And I went home straight from there and I shared with my wife. Yes, I'm struggling with this thing. I can't get breakthrough. Like the enemy is just in my thoughts the whole time. And we prayed and we got breakthrough. But I think the key point there for me is just like I had pride in my heart. I didn't want to acknowledge. I didn't want to bring it into the light. I was going to be ashamed of what I was struggling with. So, is there something that you actually need to bring into the light that you're too proud to do? You're scared of embarrassment. If that's sitting there, that's the devil accusing you. It's the devil accusing you. He wants to eat on that flesh. You guys with me? Okay. Then, second scripture, 1 John 2, verse 9 to 10. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. I'm just going to read that first part again. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. And as I was preparing for this morning, I really felt that there's people amongst us here that you either need to forgive someone for something they've done to you, or you've done wrong to someone and you need to go and ask for forgiveness. But you're too proud or too much worried about your own reputation to go and humble yourself before that, or to those people and let God and the light do its work. So yeah, if there's conflict between you and someone, get it into the light, humble yourself, and go and sort it out, and be willing to turn your cheek many times. So check your heart if that resonates with you. Check your heart if you need to go and make right with someone. And it's beautiful. If you bring something into the light, it's like God has something new in you, something fresh. Feel like a new creation. And then just few points on this. Why don't we come into the light? We're worried about our own reputation. We want to protect our image. We carry pride in our hearts. We're scared of embarrassment. We're pretending to be perfect on the outside. It's easy to look like, oh, that guy's okay, or showing everyone that I'm okay, but what's really going on inside? And the enemy gets a foothold on these things, and he can eat on that day. It's just going to become heavier and heavier and heavier if we don't bring stuff into the light, if we don't humble ourselves. He eats our flesh, but he can't work when something's in the light. Then a humble life is a surrendered life before God. It's a second best life. Sorry, that's my third point. So Philippians 2, verse 3 to 11, and I'm going to start landing with this. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And just as we were worshiping this morning, I just had a fresh revelation of what God did for us. And just like the power of the gospel, he came and he laid down his life so that we can have opportunity to eternal life. And just a few points of God's character coming out of the scripture. He willingly made himself less. God didn't come down to earth and grab for glory and honor. Yeah, where in our lives are we grabbing for glory and honor? Like, where are we striving for something? Are you measuring up to this example? Jesus came to serve others. And he was obedient even till the point of death on a cross. And he died the worst death that there possibly is. And for us to humble ourselves or to be obedient to God, we will have to humble ourselves at some stage. So that's a measurable for you. If you want to see if you're in obedience to God, check if you've humbled yourself in every area. We have the opportunity for eternal life because of what God has done for us. I just want to check my time there. And I was just wondering, like, maybe another measurable, if someone had to come and spend time with you for a week and write a report of your life. You don't know he's there. He's just following you and writing a report of your life. He's in your thought life. He's seeing how you speak to your wife at home, how you treat your colleagues at work, what's going on in your thoughts. Like, what would that report actually look like? Would it be a proud report or will it be a humble report? So go and spend some time on that and ask yourself that question. Maybe ask the person close to you to give you some feedback. I want to end with this scripture, Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. I think just keeping in mind that Jesus is the ultimate example of being humble. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And whenever I read this scripture, I'm humbled, eh? I'm forced to go back and check myself, like, is what I'm confessing about Jesus really true in my heart? Or is there something false that I'm carrying in my heart? Is there false humility in my heart? Is there a false confession about Jesus? A verbal confession about Jesus doesn't always reflect a humble and a repentant heart. So, yeah, this is a scripture that always just brings me back and just like measuring myself up. Am I really humble? Is what I'm confessing to the outside really going on in my heart? And we will be tested at the end. So be wary of false humility. Be wary of false humility. So if we can if we